Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Religious Education for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Deacon Roger Rosenbaum, who is the Diocesan Prison Ministry Coordinator under the Office of Life, Justice, and Human Dignity. You're also a part of the Pro-Life Advisory Council. Welcome, Deacon Roger.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I'm excited that you're here as well. You took over the position that Deacon Chris Luna had.
Yes.
And I know that it's a pleasure working with you. Can you go ahead and tell me a little bit about yourself?
I've been doing prison ministry in the Beeville vicinity for about the last 10 years. I began doing this when I was in diaconate training, and they recommended that we should seek some type of outside ministry outside of the church. So there being so many prisons in the Beeville area, and because I worked in one of the units, I figured this is excellent. There's plenty of work for me to do there in Beeville. So I couldn't do prison ministry work in the unit where I worked, so I chose McConnell, which is a maximum security unit there in Beeville. So I attended a little bit skeptical about how it would go, not really knowing who I was going to see or interact with, and come to find out there were some offenders there that I had in my unit before, but they were okay with the fact that I was working as a security officer at Garza West, and then coming and doing ministry at McConnell. So I never told many of my coworkers what I did. I don't think they would understand, because I was wearing a different hat when I was at McConnell. I wasn't there as a security officer. I was there as a minister, to minister to them. So two different environments, but nevertheless, always having to keep the security mindset. Anytime you're in a prison environment, you need to keep that mindset
I bet ready. That hat never left you.
Never has. Well, and before that, I was in law enforcement for 25 years before I retired the first time. So I was pretty much used to being around that environment.
You know, I hear people say retire the first time and second time. And well, first of all, thank you for ministering in the diocese and for being a deacon. It's so important that we have our deacons, and you're all about service, definitely.
Definitely.
So now you say skeptical, and I want to know when you first looked for outside service, skeptical, what happened when you made that transition to, oh, this is for me?
Well, after my first visit, I came home feeling, I had a feeling that I had accomplished something. And that feeling was just made me want to go back, because these guys are many times just lonely. They want to be able to talk to someone other than another offender or someone other than an officer. So many times they have questions. They're at all levels in their faith. Some are very, very basic. They don't know much about the Catholic faith, yet others know more than I do. They've studied. They have a lot of time on their hands to study the Catechism of the Catholic Church and read books, and they're so knowledgeable. So I myself, in turn, can learn from them by visiting with them.
Now, as you were speaking and giving us a little introduction into yourself, I had a fond memory of some time when I was working with my parish here, actually, when I was younger, and we did prison ministry work. And I remember wanting to go. My parents didn't want me to go. I was about 18. So then we devised a plan that I would go, but with no makeup and a whole bunch of clothes on from head to toe. Not that it mattered. I can imagine that the people in prison are hurting also.
Yes, they are. Many of those offenders have lost total contact with their families, with their moms and dads, brothers and sisters. When they first get to prison, they have a lot of family support, many of them. They, if they're lifers, long-term offenders, their family begins to dwindle. They don't write to them. They don't call them as much anymore. And they become lonely. It's a hard life in prison. For those that that have a short time to spend, you know, a couple of years, they can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And we're there, you know, we can be there for comfort and to visit with them and try to make them make that transition into the free world a little easier, give them some pointers and so forth.
Well, when you speak of transition to the free world, there's usually not a smooth transition.
Never.
Sometimes they just are left outside of the jail walls and don't have anyone to pick them up, don't have any money, no clothes. So, I mean, is that the case? What happens then?
Actually, I have not been that much involved in the pre-release part of the system or what has happened after they've left. Mm-hmm. My ministry has pretty much been involved inside the unit while
okay.
they're incarcerated. But there are avenues and there are resources available in the free world for them. And in my own personal family, I've had a member of my family that's been in prison, so I've learned also what happens to them from the outside, finding a job, getting their licenses back, getting resources and people, contacts, so they can find a job. Because they've got to be able to find a job to get on with their lives.
And you speak of having a family member. I also have a family member who is in prison, younger than me, a cousin actually. And out of nowhere, we receive a letter from him. So they must be lonely.
Yes, they are.
Not speaking to family members for years, but then now being in jail and wanting someone to,
yes.
to reach out to them and them wanting to reach out to someone.
And the sad part is that right there in Beeville, we probably have around 7,000 offenders that are incarcerated because we have Garza East and Garza West, which are transfer units. They get processed at these units. And then there's a trustee camp, and then there's McConnell, a maximum security unit. So there are so many families that have moved into the Beeville vicinity to be closer to their loved ones, especially if they're going to be there for many years.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's good that they're moving to be nearby their
yeah.
family members.
Whether that's good or bad is yet to be seen, but
sure.
because there's more population, more business, so there's a lot of new faces in Beeville area.
So you're saying a few things that people that are not too fond of prison ministry or understand it very well might not understand, especially me. So let's go ahead and talk about just some of terms that you were using, transfer units. This is where they get processed.
They get processed. They come into the system, and they spend several weeks getting photographs for their IDs. They get given their IDs. They photograph all their tattoos. They interview them. They try to find out what level of IQ they are at so they can put them in different educational-type programs. They go through orientation, the do's and don'ts, and many times there's other offenders who play a part in talking to the younger offenders to say, look, be careful, don't do this, don't do that. You know, a lot of guys spend all their time by themselves. A lot of guys, unfortunately, are sought out by gang members, and there's lots of gang activity in the prison. So all those do's and don'ts are very, very beneficial to those new offenders because they get to learn instead of having to the hard ropes of the system when they come in.
Okay, and then you say trustee camp. What is that?
Trustee camp is another unit in the same complex area that houses offenders that are short timers. These offenders are serving a year, maybe 2 years or less, and they are able to work outside of the fences. They work in town, cleaning sidewalks, helping trim trees here and there. I've even seen them in the residential areas with their supervisors, and they're doing community service at the same time. Many of them drive trucks and tractors and do all the outside work. They run a barber shop. They run a laundry service and many other jobs that they're permitted to do because they're less of a risk of escape.
And they still have skills to offer.
Yes, many, many skills.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you also use the term that really caught my attention, free world.
Yes, that's very common in the prison system, too. I mean, there's the guys in white, which are the offenders, and the guys in gray, which are the officers. And they always speak in terms of the free world. The free world is where you and I are. The walls is where they live, and that's where they have to spend their time, and they look forward to spending time in the free world.
All right. Well, I'm really interested in learning about prison ministry because, like I said, actually, I have a couple of cousins that are in prison, and some of our listeners might even have some family members that are in prison. So apart from having a personal interest, there might be some listeners that want to serve in the prisons.
And we are in need of a lot more volunteers.
So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about how to become a volunteer.
Sounds good.
This is Labors of Love.
It's being called a spiritual banquet concert. Saturday, October 11th, Jones Auditorium on the A&M Kingsville campus will come alive with the sound of seven-time Dove Award winner Jackie Velasquez and Salvador lead singer Nick Gonzalez in an evening of fellowship and great Christian music. This event is a production of Our Lady of Good Counsel Church in Kingsville. For information on general admission, VIP passes, and meet and greet passes, visit OurLadyKingsville.org or call the parish office 361-562-8497.
Thank you again for being with us on Labors of Love. I have my guest, Deacon Roger Rosenbaum, with us, the Diocesan Prison Ministry Coordinator with the Office of Life, Justice, and Human Dignity in the diocese. Now that we've learned a little bit more about prison life and what goes on in a prison and some of the different terminologies in prison, I'd like to talk about the particular duties that you have in the prison ministry office as the Diocesan Coordinator.
Deacon Stephen Nolte from Family Life at the Chancery asked me if I would take this position, and I really didn't know much about what it all entailed, and I'm still learning as I'm trying to accomplish my duties. But we met last month, and I wanted him to identify what am I really expected to do and what area of responsibility does he want me to cover. And I was already doing ministry at the county jail there in Beeville, so it just was right up that same alley of duties that I'm responsible for. But my areas also cover not only county, but state and federal. We have one federal unit in Three Rivers. And the person I replaced, Deacon Chris Luna, who was ordained with me 6 years ago, he is tending to those ministry needs there at the federal unit. So I'm doing Beeville, and we have a lot of volunteers that help us at all the different units. But we're in so much need of more volunteers. We have several people from Corpus that come into Beeville two and sometimes three times a week.
Oh, wow.
To help us do ministry. And the chaplain, Ed McConnell, happens to be a Catholic priest. So we're very blessed that he's able to provide Mass for the offenders. And we have a very large community there at McConnell. Its official name is St. Dismas Catholic Community at McConnell. And we have approximately 120 to 140 offenders that come to Mass on Wednesdays. I help Father, serve at Mass with him. And when Father's not available, I come in and I do a communion service for the offenders there. And because the prison is divided in two different sections, we may come in and do Section A, and then the next day we come in, we do Section B because they're separated.
There's
so many, yes, mm-hmm. that the gymnasiums where we hold our masses can only accommodate, you know, a certain capacity. So they have to divide the services. And the same volunteers, which are about five volunteers, sometimes they wear themselves down.
They're so eager to serve.
Oh, yes. It's so rewarding to come out and say, I really accomplished something by talking to someone. Sometimes they ask for an address for a particular church that they want to be able to write to. So we're able to provide that type of services for them. Or answer you know, religious questions. Not that we have all the answers, but we can do some research and come back and then share with them whatever their question may be.
So I was going to ask, so some of the things that the volunteers do are visit with the offenders. Do they assist in mass?
They do. Actually, the St. Dismas Catholic community at McConnell, they have a choir and they have a setup team that comes in, sets up all the tables, sets up the altar.
And these are the offenders.
These are the offenders themselves. They do the readings. I do the gospel reading, but they do a rosary before mass, and then they have different types of lessons. We have an RCIA program that's very ongoing. As a matter of fact, we have in graduation next month for 25 or 26 offenders that completed the RCIA program, and so we do individual counseling and just visiting with them. Many of them are just so eager just to talk, just to visit.
And let me ask you, now these are offenders. They might have done a variety of things, and they're in jail. They're behind bars. They're not a part of the free world, as you said. And why have they decided now to become closer to their faith, to their God?
I think a lot of them find God in prison.
Okay.
Unfortunately, a lot of them get out and they leave God incarcerated in prison. But many of them have turned their lives around. Many of them will get out and they'll go right back to the same old habits, same friends, and same habits. But many of them, I'm blessed to say, that do make a change in their lives. They find Jesus. They embrace the concept of Catholicism. And they want to learn more. And of course, the more they learn, the more they get involved. And I'm setting up an interview committee now where more people want to join the choir. So we're going to interview them. We want to make sure that's the right ministry that they want to get into.
So these are offenders singing. I mean, it's a beautiful picture, really.
It's sometimes a better sounding choir than we have in our own church in Beeville. These guys have practiced together every week. For several hours, and they have a bass and a guitar and an organ and microphones. And of course, there's a need for equipment and replacing microphones and microphone stands and so forth. So there's always needs that the community has. Recently, through the family life and Deacon Nolte, I was able to get him a ciborium. We didn't have a ciborium, so we distributed communion out of a little out of the cap of a host box, and that was not proper. So I was authorized to buy a ciborium, so we have that. And then we have a number of offenders that have learned and continue to want to learn how to help set up the altar, how to get the wine and the water and the cruets, everything, you know, in place in the credence table, and many of them are learning, and they're eager to learn. So many of them want to just be part of it, but we can't have everybody there. So
they take turns,
and some of the older ones that have been doing it for a while teach the younger ones that are just coming into that ministry.
So they're taking responsibility,
they're
mentoring. I mean, they're really turning themselves around.
Yes, like the RCIA program, they instruct the rest of the offenders. We are there to guide them, to provide the resources, copies, the books, but they themselves teach the classes.
They teach the classes. The other ones about their faith.
Yes, they do. Yes.
Well, that is wonderful, and it does offer hope. Now, you did say that you needed volunteers and also items. So let me ask you, how does one volunteer, and what are some of the items that someone could give?
Of course, there are volunteers throughout the whole diocese at all the different prisons and jails. There's people that come in and volunteer. I'm at the point, so new into this new ministry to encompass the diocese, that I'm getting to learn who all is being involved. And we have one volunteer that comes in from Bernie, close to Fredericksburg, north of San Antonio. And we have some people from Fredericksburg and Kerrville and San Antonio that come in to help. But I'm in hopes that we can develop our own core team of volunteers here in the Corpus Diocese, where we don't have to call upon these other people to come so far to help us. Now, they're always welcome to come and help
us. And willing, I'm sure.
Yes, they're very willing. But we have so many people here in Corpus that may not know what they need to do to get involved. Well, what it takes is first to develop an interest to do prison ministry or jail ministry in a local county jail or city jails. They need to apply volunteer application. And this is just like any volunteer in the diocese. You have to go through the safe environment process.
Background
mm-hmm. check, everything, because you're a non-paid employee of the diocese. And then we take you to a unit. You go not by yourself, but with someone to show you the ropes, what all you got to do when you go in to get pat searched and get screened. And you go in and you get to see what happens.
So you observe first.
Observe. Mm-hmm. And then if you like it and you want to come back, we keep inviting you back. And the one thing that we've expanded there at our units now is the ACTS movement, A-C-T-S, which has become very popular. We've put on two retreats at McConnell, two ACTS retreats on one side and two on the other side.
And about how many offenders attend?
We have limited our group to 48 retreatants, and then we have an inside team of offenders that help on the inside, and they do their own talks. And then we have an outside team of about 20 people. So we have 48 plus 40, plus some other people that come and go and help with cooking the food and so forth. So
that's a full house.
It's about 100 plus people that get involved in putting on a retreat.
And you had four
this last year.
Mm-hmm,
we had four.
Mm-hmm.
We have another two coming up later this calendar year, another one in November and another one in December.
Wow.
So we'll be busy doing ACTS retreats. We also have another one at Glossbrenner, which is a rehabilitation center in San Diego, coming up in, I believe it's in August. So we have retreats that it gives us more opportunities to talk about God and talk about the love and compassion that these guys love to hear about.
Well, I must thank you for your willingness to be the diocesan coordinator for prison ministry. You must have a heart for all the people that you work with. So thank you once again.
You're certainly welcome. I'm happy to be here.
Stay with us. Sacred Moments with Deacon Nolte is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
There is no denying that we live in difficult times. Ask anyone you know, and they can recite a litany of what is wrong with the world. In fact, they can tell you what's wrong with our country. The answers you get will be as different as the people you ask. For some, it's the economy. For others, it's Democrats and Republicans, the haves or have-nots, medical care, or Social Security. The list goes on and on. All of it can sometimes beat us down, cause us to question if anything really matters. We start giving in on things we used to believe were important, but now we're not so sure. We start to go along with the majority, voting for the most popular candidate, even when we know deep in our hearts that there might be someone else who's better. We begin to doubt what we once believed. We begin to seek to please ourselves, and we turn to those things that we think will bring us happiness. But they always leave us thirsting for more. It begins to seem as if God doesn't care. Being tired and discouraged makes it easy to want to quit, easy to give up trying to live a righteous life. Keeping our faith and trusting in God when we're surrounded by suffering and poverty is hard. Sometimes it doesn't seem to make any sense. We wonder, what's the use of fighting it? Everybody else does it. Does it really matter what I do? And yet God has not given up on us. These times of discouragement are the times when we need to turn to Him with even greater prayer, like the widow in Scripture who was seeking justice before the dishonest judge. We have to be persistent in our prayers. God is always present, ready to lift us up, to redirect our steps, and draw us nearer to Him. He promises to renew our hearts, to give us natural hearts. This means that He will remove the stones that hard living has filled our hearts with and that prevent us from knowing peace or from having hope. The psalmist knew this well, and through his words invites us to call upon God, to invite him to step in and give us direction. Listen to the words. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my ways. You are my refuge. Rescue me. Jesus goes even further and tells us, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. We hear these words echoed in the words of so many popular songs, such as You Raise Me Up, when it says, when I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. When everything around us becomes dark and dreary, that is the time for our faith to shine the brightest, the time for us to call upon God with renewed vigor. Let us dwell upon the promises He has given us, and may your sacred moments lead you to that place where Jesus raises you up, gives you rest, and rescues you. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Deacon Roger Rosenbaum, Diocesan Prison Ministry Coordinator. If you would like more information, please call 361-882-6191 and ask for the Office of Life, Justice, and Human Dignity. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.